Today on The King is Coming.
Christ wants you to believe in Him, not just because He says so, but because He has proved it to be true. Everything Jesus prophesied, including the destruction of the temple, has all come true. Everything Jesus said in His earthly ministry about His own self and His death and resurrection has come true. What does the parable of the fig tree actually mean? We're going to find out today on The King is Coming.
What if the greatest event in human history was also the key to understanding our future? Join Jeff Kinley in the Resurrection and Return series, a powerful 7-part journey exploring the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the undeniable evidence behind it, and what it reveals about His soon return. Prophecy, proof, promise. The King is risen and the King is coming. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com and get your copy today.
Well, we find Jesus Christ in the last week of His life. He is up on the Mount of Olives. He's been talking to His disciples because they'd ask Him some questions about the end times. And you know, one of the things that that teaches us is that it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to want to know what's going to happen in the end. But fortunately for you and I, the Bible tells us really all the way from Genesis to Revelation what the end times are going to be like. And specifically here, it's Wednesday afternoon. And Jesus Christ has just been on the Temple Mount with His disciples. They'd been admiring the great adornments and ornate structure of the temple and all the votive gifts and the gold and all that that was a part of the temple. And they said, "Lord, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful?" And Jesus said, "No, listen, this temple is going to be torn down. Not one stone will be left upon the other." And then Christ walks down off the Temple Mount. He goes down into the Kidron Valley and up to the Mount of Olives. It's a walk that, depending on how many people stopped Him along the way, could have taken anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes. And so Jesus finally gets up on the Mount of Olives, and the Gospel of Mark tells us that Peter, James, John, and Andrew come to Jesus privately. They want the inside scoop. And so they ask Him, they say, "Lord, tell us, when will these things be in terms of the Temple Mount, the temple being destroyed? And what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?" And we've seen on a previous series here on The King is Coming that Jesus walks them through, really step by step, what's going to happen during the tribulation period, concluding with His second coming. But now Christ transitions and He begins to tell them some stories, stories about the apocalypse, stories that help illustrate it and frame and shape life as it's going to be in the future, specifically for the Jewish people during that time that we call the Great Tribulation. Now we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin in verse 32. And again, this is one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted passages in all of the New Testament. We'll find out why in just a minute. Jesus says to them, this is right after He told them, "I'm coming back a second time with all My glory and the angels," etc. He says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." So we have to ask ourselves the question, what's He talking about here? Well, many people have interpreted this passage as the fig tree representing Israel, and the fact that when it brings forth its leaves, it represents the rebirth of Israel. And that happened in 1948. And they say, well, and he says this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So all these things obviously referring to the second coming. So basically, if you just kind of do the general math, the interpretation goes something like this. When Israel becomes a nation again, there will be one generation. And after that generation is concluded, then Christ will return again. So that's the interpretation. Now, where has that led people in terms of trying to figure out the return of Christ? Well, it's led to date setting. In other words, it's led to people trying to sort of put a pin in the map on when they think that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And there was a man back in 1988 who wrote a booklet. It's called 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. And he's talking about the rapture. And so people, he printed millions of these. In fact, I think over 4 million of these little pamphlets were sold. And then guess what happened? Jesus didn't come back in 1988. And so undeterred, this man said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write another book. I'll add a reason to it. So he wrote another book called 89 Reasons Why Christ is Coming Back in 1989. And guess what didn't happen in 1989? Christ didn't come back, right? So what we've seen is that people continually try to set a date for the return of Christ. Sometimes they'll use mathematical formulas that they think they found in the Bible. Sometimes they'll look at the signs of the times, and they'll try to put those together in such a way that gives them some sort of pinpoint date, some sort of red letter date on the calendar. Well, what do we know about this? How can we understand this passage? Is Jesus really talking about Israel being reborn? Well, let's talk about a couple things here. Number one, let's talk about what a generation is. In the Bible, you have many different descriptions of what a generation is. Now, specifically, in this passage, the people who originally came up with the interpretation that it'll be 40 years after the birth of Israel to the return of Jesus, 40 years, right? They got that from Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. And in that passage, it speaks about the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. Actually, it's a little less than 40 years, but in actuality. But they said, well, that's generation right there. So they take that meaning out of Numbers. They impose that meaning on the word generation here, and then just do a little simple math, and you've got 1988. Well, there are a couple of problems with that. The first is this, is that Christ here is speaking of his second coming in verse 31. He's not talking about the rapture at all. And so if you were to do the math and you believed in a seven-year tribulation after the rapture and prior to the second coming, then you have to go back to 1981. So the rapture was supposed to happen in 81 and the return of Christ was supposed to happen in 88. Well, all of that is mixed up, isn't it? Right? So that's the first thing we have to consider. The second thing is that the Bible doesn't actually say that a generation is specifically 40 years. In fact, when we go to Genesis chapter 15, we have a depiction of the time of slavery in Egypt of 400 years or so, and that is depicted as four different generations. And so if you do the math there, you come up with 100 years. Is a generation. Now, if you use the original interpretation here of Israel becoming a nation is what the fig tree means, fig tree giving its blossoms, then you have to add 100 years to 1948. So that brings us to 2048. And if that's true, then the rapture should be happening about 2041. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, because there's nothing in this passage that tells us that that's what a generation is, or that's what we should look to for our interpretation as a generation. Well, what else does the Bible say about this word generation, or about this concept? We'll tackle that when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So we've seen that a generation could possibly be understood as 40 years. It could be understood as 100 years. But there are other passages of Scripture as well that give us a whole other interpretation or a whole other understanding. In fact, the generations were understood to be an unspecified amount of time as we look at the Old Testament. In fact, when we look at the generations of Adam in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, we have no idea to the exact date how many generations or how many years make a generation, all the generations of Adam that are listed there. And even if we figured it out mathematically, it would be different than 40, it would be different than 100. And then we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ, where there's approximately 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. And there are three sets of 14 generations in that mathematical formula there. That comes out to about 47.6 years for a typical generation. So do you see what we have here? We see that in the Bible does not give us a definitive definition of what a chronological generation is, okay? So that's the first thing we have to understand about this passage. The second thing is that in this passage in Matthew, there's no direct reference to the fig tree as representing Israel. In other words, there's no words or no clues in the context that tells us that the fig tree refers to one day when the Jewish state would be reborn again. Nothing in the passage. Now, here's another problem with taking the fig tree as Israel. When Luke records this very passage, these very words of Christ, he actually includes all of what Jesus said. Matthew just gave us just a little bit of a context here, but Luke records the rest of it in Luke chapter 21 and in verse 29. Now notice what he says. He says this. He says, "And he told them a parable," and these are Christ's words, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees." And he says, "As soon as they put forth their leaves, you know for yourselves that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near." So here's the problem. If the fig tree is Israel becoming a nation, what are all the trees putting forth their fruit mean? So you have a huge problem with that if you say that Israel represents the fig tree. What are all the other nations doing? What happened in 1948 to all nations in the world? Well, nothing, actually. And so there's a problem with taking Israel as being the fig tree there. The third thing we need to understand is that what Christ is actually doing here is not trying to make a commentary about Israel. He's making a truth about the signs of the times based on an illustration of a tree. So in other words, fig tree means fig tree. That's what the interpretation means. And we don't have to read anything else into the text or insert any other meaning into the text. It simply means it's a fig tree. Christ is simply talking to a generation of people there who understand horticulture. And he say, "Hey, when you see a tree, any tree, putting forth its leaves, and if you were just came out of a coma and saw trees start to put forth their leaves, what could you conclude? What could you deduce? That summer is near." That's all he's saying. Now let me tell you the spiritual equivalent. Let me tell you what that spiritually means. He says, "Even so, when you see all these things take place, you know that the end is near." So that's the third point. The fourth thing about this is that the word generation is not referring to a birth and a death of a generation in this passage. In fact, if you'll look at the context here, he's giving us a clue as to what this generation is actually going to witness. He says in verse 33, "Even so you too, when you see all these things." Wait, stop, time out. Jesus, can you go back for a second, rewind? What are you talking about, all these things? Hey guys, I've just been telling you since we sat down here verses 4 through 28, really 4 through 31, Jesus began to talk about the tribulation period, the deception, antichrist, persecution, the lawlessness, love lost, abomination of desolation, a gospel preached to all the kingdom, a deception of antichrist and false Christ, and then boom, here comes the Son of God. Jesus had just walked us through all that. When you see, when your generation that's living in that day sees these things take place, then know that the end is near. Now, here's what we have not seen since 1948. We have not seen any of these signs. Nothing from verse 4 to verse 31 in the second coming. We've seen none of that in our world today. And so Christ is simply helping us understand, and this is all he's saying. He's saying the tribulation will end soon after you see these signs. And he's saying this, and this is, I wrote this down in the bottom of my Bible because it just made so much sense to me. The generation that sees the beginning of the end, i.e. the tribulation, will witness the end of the end. That's what he's saying. He's saying that this horrible time I've just described for you in verses 4 through 28 is not going to go on in perpetuity. It's not going to last forever, guys. When you see these things, know that the end is coming soon. So verses 32 and 34, really the parable of the fig tree is a message of hope to the disciples. It's letting them know, and it's letting future generations of Jews, specifically those living during the tribulation, it's letting them know that this thing's not going to go on forever. It's going to come to an end, and very soon after you see those particular signs. But then Jesus says this. So that's the interpretation of the parable. This generation is a generation of the tribulation. It's the tribulation generation. And he says that once you see these signs happening, it's just like a fig tree bringing its leaves. That means summer's coming. When you see these signs, it means the sun is coming. Okay? That's all he's saying there. So to try to put more meaning into this passage doesn't fit chronologically in the passage. It doesn't fit in terms of the theme of the passage. It doesn't fit in terms of the prophetic narrative of the events that will happen during the tribulation following the second coming. The only interpretation that fits is the one we just described right here, that generation. Now, here's what Jesus says is going to pass away. He says this. He says, this generation will not pass away, but he says, heaven and earth in the next verse will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And Christ is really fast-forwarding to a time past the kingdom that he's been telling them about, to a time when God, it says in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and following, that God's going to melt the universe. He's going to decompose the whole universe at the subatomic level, and he's going to create a whole new heavens and a whole new earth. And he says, so everything you see around you, it's going to go away. It's going to burn. Even the earth itself, one day. But you know what will still remain? He says, my words. My words, the truth of my words. Why? Because my truth stems from who I am. They will not pass away. And listen, there is an assault, an attack today on the truth of God and on the Word of God. And this is one of the key reasons why we have to stay true to the Word of God here at The King is Coming. Listen, if you're a part of this ministry, if you watch this ministry, if you support this ministry, you need to know that we are faithful and loyal and fiercely committed to the Word of God as revealed in the Scriptures. And we're not going to deter from that. Now, what are some lessons that we can take from this parable of the fig tree for our own personal lives right now? We'll talk about that when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration.
Thank you.
So as we think about this parable of the fig tree, we've talked about its meaning. We've talked about its context. We talked about why Christ gave his disciples these things. And by the way, you say, well, wait a minute, Jeff, these guys are dead. They didn't get to apply this to their lives. I mean, what's the point of giving a prophecy to someone and they're not actually able to see the prophecy come true? Well, you're talking about all of the Old Testament prophets. None of them saw Christ come on the earth, but they prophesied about him. Isaiah never saw the one born of a virgin. Micah never saw the one he said would be born in Bethlehem, right? Moses never saw the one that he wrote about in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. They never saw it. Daniel never saw the Antichrist. He never saw the second coming. So, yeah, we're in time. The Bible has to be written in time, but then prophecies as you go along are fulfilled in time. And for example, these disciples got to witness the fulfillment of the prophecies made by Zechariah, made by Moses, made by Isaiah, made by Micah, and all the other prophets that prophesied about the Messiah. They got to experience them, but the Old Testament prophets didn't. Guess what? Now they're experiencing prophecies that Jesus is making here that a future generation will be able to understand. Does that make sense? I mean, to me, that's one of the reasons why I believe we are one of the most privileged and blessed generations in all of human history right now, because not only have the perspective of seeing all of the previous prophecies that were fulfilled before us, and we have the luxury and the perspective of seeing exactly how they were fulfilled, literally, precisely, and exactly as predicted, but now we're seeing the emerging signs of the times, including Israel becoming a nation again. So we are so blessed to be in this time. So the disciples are receiving prophecies that future Jewish generations, specifically the one living in the time of the tribulation, will apply to their lives. So what are some lessons that we can kind of take from this here? Well, I think one lesson is this, is that we should always reject any person who claims to know the time of Christ's coming. And listen, you would think that of the hundreds and hundreds of people that have tried to predict the coming of the Lord, that we would say, look, nobody gets it right. In fact, in the very next verse, we're going to see in our next episode, Jesus says, but of that day, that's speaking of the day of his second coming now, he says, that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. How in the world could Christ say that? He didn't know himself? We'll talk about that in the next episode, but watch this. Reject any person who claims to have information about the timing of the Lord's return. It doesn't matter how convincing, how smart, how polished they are, what they put together. They may have put together a proposal or a document or written a book about it. But if someone tries to tell you, I figured it out based on math, based on thousands of years, and based on adding up numbers, I can get the exact date of the rapture or the second coming. Don't believe them. If they try to predict the rapture based on the Jewish feasts, nothing in the scripture tells us the rapture will take place at a Jewish feast, not a single verse. If they try to say, well, how about the red heifers? You got these red heifers over in Israel right now. Hey, listen, they may be significant to the Jewish priests, but they do not give us any clues concerning the return of the Lord. Or someone may say, because of the specific signs of the times that are going on, we need to get ready because Jesus is going to come back on this date. Now listen, here's something that we need to clarify. We cannot know the very date of the return of the Lord. In fact, he's talking about the second coming in this passage. And if Jesus was trying to give us a date in verses 32 and 34, it would make no sense that he would immediately turn around two verses later and say, but of that day and hour, no man can know. Why would he say, here's when I'm coming back, and then over here saying, you can't know when I'm coming back? So there would be contradictory to say that. So just know that if anyone claims to know when Jesus is coming back, you know for a fact they don't know when Jesus is coming back. And they specifically do not know when the rapture is going to take place. Why? Because the rapture is what we call a signless event. There are no signs that need to take place, no prophecies that must be fulfilled before Jesus Christ can return at the rapture. So we're sitting on ready, literally. So that's the first thing we can learn. Secondly, God wants us to be informed about the last days. Here is Jesus in quite arguably the last public sermon of his life. And what's he going to talk about? Love one another? Take care of the oppressed? No. He says, I want to tell you what's going to happen in the apocalypse. Because he's answering a question his disciples had asked him. What did God do when he was getting ready to write the last book of the Bible, the last book of God's Bible? He wrote a book that is 95% prophecy. So God wants us to know about the end times. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul begins by saying this. He says, brethren, we do not want you to be uninformed about what's about to take place. In other words, God wants us to know. He wants us to understand. And watch this now. We can know. There's 26% to 26 to 30% of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. And there's so many verses in Scripture, so many books of the Bible that tell us what's going to happen in the end times. Daniel, the Gospels, Jesus' own words. We have it in the book of Acts. We've got it in Paul's epistles. We've got it in Jude. We've got it in Thessalonians. We've got it in Revelation. God wants you to have a heads up on the future so you can know what's going to happen. And so we can be prepared to prepare others as well so they can avoid some of the horrible things that are going to happen. So God wants you to be uninformed. Don't listen to anyone who tells you you shouldn't study Bible prophecy. So that's the third thing. Oh, that's the second thing. Third thing is this. Jesus' words are trustworthy, tried, and true. Christ said here, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Why is that so important? Why is that so critical? Because Christ wants you to believe in him, not just because he says so, but because he has proved it to be true. Everything Jesus prophesied, including the destruction of the temple, has all come true. Everything Jesus said in his earthly ministry about his own self and his death and resurrection has come true. So we have every reason, because Christ was risen from the dead, proven he was God, to believe that every future prophecy that he says and that he predicts will also come true. His words are tried, they are true, and they are trustworthy. I love what Psalm 119, verse 89 says. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And my friend, that's a great place for us to land here, settling in on the word of God. So that's the parable of the fig tree. I hope it is more clear to you now, makes a lot more sense. Now we're going to proceed with some more parables of the apocalypse on the very next The King is Coming. God bless. We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.